Hey everybody, it's Cam here. Today I'm going to talk about Murder at Spindle Manor by Morgan Stang. It is 249 pages long. It was published in October of 2022. It is a Spiffbo 9 finalist. It would be classified as a gaslamp fantasy. I'm about as gaslamp as I get. It has a murder mystery element, and you know what? It has more of the fantasy element than your typical gaslamp would as well. I'm excited to talk about it today. Once again, it is another one of the Spiffbo 9 finalists. This will mark number 6 of the Spiffbo 9 finalists, so I'm moving right along. I am reading 2 more in December, and then I will finish up with the last 2 in January. Before I get into reading the book blurb, the answer is yes, I did shave my beard off. No, I don't think it looks good, but I'm going on a trip here pretty quick for my wife and I's 10th anniversary. We're going to do some snorkeling. I went snorkeling once before, and my mustache caused the mask not to have a seal, which caused all kinds of issues, obviously with water getting in. As soon as the vacation is over, I will commence growing my beard back. So hopefully you don't have to look at this mug for too much longer without facial hair. Let's go ahead and start with the book blurb, and then we'll get right into talking about the rest of the book. Mysteries abound in Spindle Manor. For Huntress Isabeau Aggarwal, the countryside inn is the last stop in a deadly hunt. Armed with gas lamp and guns, she tracks an insidious beast that wears the skin of its victims, mimicking them perfectly. 10 guests reside within Spindle Manor tonight, and the creature could be any one of them. Confined by a torrential thunderstorm and running out of time, Isabeau has until morning to discover the liar, or none of them, including her, will make it out alive. But her inhuman quarry isn't the only threat residing in Spindle Manor. Gunshots, a slammed door, a dead body. Someone has been killed, and a hunt turns into a murder investigation. Now, with 2 mysteries at her feet and more piling up, Isabeau must navigate a night filled with lies and deception. In a world of seances and specters, mesmers and monsters, the unexpected is hiding around every corner, and every move may be her last. Okay, as per usual, I'm going to, we'll talk about the world, we'll talk about the plot, the main characters. There are a bunch of characters, so I am not going to bother naming everybody or getting too in-depth about anybody but the main character. But I will talk a little bit about the others. Then we'll talk about the bad, the good, and my thoughts. Okay, so getting into the world itself. We have a secondary world. We have a northern continent that is constantly covered by heavy cloud cover. That's important for the whole gas lamp element of the book because obviously with heavy cloud cover during the daytime, it's still going to be fairly dim. At nighttime, it's going to be black with no stars or moon. I don't actually know if this planet would have a moon or not. We don't deal with that at all. So this is where we have gas lamp technology. The capital city is called Lamplight. Obviously, plenty of gas lamp there. We do have guns for technology. They mentioned trains. So, you know, I would say probably like late 1800s technology as far as that goes. The continent that where people are is on the north. Like I mentioned it's full of cloud cover. There's a continent to the south that is mentioned. It is called the Ravaged Continent. It has no cloud cover, but the reason that people are there, even though it's filled with monsters, is because there's a bunch of mines that power the industry for the northern continent. There is a people that rule. They're called the nobles, and I don't mean like a social class here. They're basically entirely different people. They're mentioned to be 12 foot tall. They're beautiful to look upon. Apparently, it's also hard to look at them too much. They are also able to fly. We know that much. Maybe they can do more. We don't actually mention the nobles and their abilities very much until far later into the book. So normally I would consider that a spoiler, but I spoke with the author, Morgan Stang. He told me that that's okay to talk about because it's something that people really like to talk about. I don't know if it's more important in book 2 or not. When I read book 2, I will maybe I'll do something short real quick and talk about that. We do know that there are monsters in the northern continent as well. You know, there's a little bit more of a horror element that I didn't mention in this book as well. The Doppelworm, which is the creature that the main character, her name is Isabeau, Isabeau. That also doesn't roll off my tongue very well. She has a coachwoman named Evie, who is always calling herself her partner. She calls Isabeau Izzy. So I think from here on out, when I speak about her, I will call her Izzy as well, because it's just easier for me to say. She's a huntress. Huntresses are commissioned by the nobles to go out and hunt the monsters that are on that northern continent where the people are. As I mentioned, guns, gas lamp, 1800s technology. We don't obviously get into a ton of the world building because the entire book takes place in Spindle Manor. It takes place over the course of one night. Everyone is basically trapped in there as well. As I mentioned, there's monsters, but there's also lots of ghosts. We'll see a ghost in the book. We'll also be told that when it storms more, that there are the ghosts come out and they're stronger, and they're able to cause harm to people. So everyone's basically trapped within Spindle Manor for the night. I think that gives us enough of the world building for this one. I was really tantalized by the world building that we were given. I hope that in future books, more of the world is talked about. Like I said, there was more of that fantasy element than I expected there to be for a Gaslamp novel, especially one taking place in one manor for the evening. So our plot, we have Isabeau, Izzy. She is, as I mentioned, a huntress. She is tasked with figuring out who this Doppelworm is. The book blurb mentions there are 10 guests. They've been on a tour, basically a big long vacation for several months, and they have traveled and seen other cities. Well, every time right after they've left, there has been a body found. This Doppelworm, what they do is they actually will eat the victim's brains, and then they are able to mimic an entire body. They are also able to take the victim's memories and emotions, mannerisms. They basically, you can't tell who they are. Izzy has a special compass that when it comes in contact with like monsters and supernatural things, it'll do weird stuff like spin around in circles, or it's supposed to point where you're going to go, but when she gets really close, that happens. So she believes that one of those 10 people that has been traveling from city to city, and as I mentioned, a murder happens after them. She believes one of them is the Doppelworm. So she travels to the inn where they're staying. It's the last stop before they get to that capital city of Lamplight. And we're told that if the Doppelworm is able to get into the city, that they'll kill thousands of people. Doppelworms are always wanting to feel like they're human, but they'll only be able to feel that way for a little while when they steal a body before they feel the need to steal another body. So it's important that she gets them there. Pretty quickly into the story, she tells the other guests that she believes one of them is a Doppelworm. That is kind of important because it'll set off like one of the two big plot lines of the story. Everyone is worried of who it might be. She thinks that if by telling them that someone's going to make a mistake and maybe try to kill her, and that's obviously who will be the Doppelworm. Pretty early on into the book, one of the guests ends up being murdered. And that sets off the second part of our plot, where Isabeau ends up having to try to solve a murder mystery while also trying to figure out who the monster is. There is a surprising amount of action. In some ways, once we're getting to the main plot, we're in our like standard murder mystery in a manner, only with a whole lot more of that fantastical element involved. I really felt like the two plot lines, the divergence was done really well. Once Izzy started gathering the information on who interacted with who, then it didn't take me too long to figure out who I thought was the murderer. I still enjoyed, the whole absurdity, the convoluted element of it here and there as well. Talking about the characters themselves, as I mentioned, the main character is Izzy. She has a coach woman named Evie who is always calling herself Izzy's partner. Izzy does not agree with that, especially to start off with. As the book goes on, she kind of almost gives in to Evie's just constant badgering. The group of 10 travelers includes a doctor who's a mesmer. Mesmers can influence other people's minds. They can see what you think. There's a legend that they can even project their own bodies outside of themselves, so like their body would be in a somewhere else, and then you would think that they're walking around. Another one of the guests is a psychic who can commune with ghosts. As I mentioned, there's a ghost in the manor. There's also some monsters that we'll interact with. People can merge with other things. There is just a ton of that, that horror fantasy element in the book. As far as some of the other characters, I thought the one that I liked the most was the Colonel. She was a veteran of the Ravaged Continent, served a bunch of tours, and her body is like half mechanical. Where we're getting into that gas lamp element. There's a coal-fired furnace inside of her back that actually runs the mechanical parts of herself. There's just a really cool cast of characters. The main one is only one point of view. That's Izzy, so obviously she's the one that is most important. There's also the proprietress of the inn, and she has an assistant who is what is called a living doll. Her mouth has been sewn shut. Apparently, she actually died, and right as she died, another mesmer was able to like somehow put life back in her. And so, at this point, she can't speak, obviously, with her mouth sewn shut. She has a lot lower functions than if she'd have been living. She is a kind of a fun background character throughout the entire story. Like I said, a lot of more of that fantasy element than a lot of typical gas lamps. Getting into the bad, the good, and my final thoughts. I'm going to list three things on the bad. Only one of the three was an issue for me personally. But the first one is that it does get pretty convoluted at times when you're dealing with two main plot lines. I felt like the author did a pretty good job of it. There were very few times where I was struggling to figure out like what was going on. The author juggles it, I think, pretty well. But it can get pretty convoluted. At times when both things are going on at once. The second thing is that it is pretty absurd. I also think that the author did a really good job of handling the absurdity, but I think that there are probably going to be some people that might think that the story has jumped the shark, to use an old phrase, every once in a while. So this is the second book that has had like an element of the absurd so far in this competition. And I feel like it handled the absurdity a whole lot better than The Fall Is All There Is. I feel like sometimes that book just threw out crazy, weird stuff just to throw it out. My personal opinion is that the author did a really good job of whenever there is absurdity, that it had a really good reason for it. But I have seen other reviews since I've read the book that thought that it went a little overboard. Third one, and the one that I actually had a little bit of a issue with, is that I think I would have been happier if this book had been 350 pages long instead of only 250 pages, and maybe we'd have gotten more of the world building. The parts of the world building we did get mostly are within like the backstory of the Colonel. I really, really enjoyed that part of the book, but obviously at only 250 pages long, the world building isn't something that can, you know, take up a significant portion of the book. It really left me wanting more of that world building. Obviously that shows the author's writing ability that, even if I was only getting like 10 or 15 pages of world building, that like I really latched onto that and found it fascinating. I really found the world fascinating. I would have liked to have seen more of it. Obviously it all takes place in one building, so that's not going to happen. But maybe through backstory, we could have gotten that. But obviously that's not what the point of the book is. So I think that's just me being, standard and epic fantasy person. So, I don't think most people are going to care that the world building is a little bit light. Now, getting into the good. I really felt like the author put together a really great cast of characters for this murder mystery. We're dealing with about 14 people total in this building, along with a monster or two and maybe a few ghosts. You know, there's a lot of people for 250 pages, but I felt like the author just handled it extremely well. Obviously, just having one point of view character with Izzy was a good choice for the format that we took. The supporting cast, I felt like the group that was all supposed to know each other, those 10 travelers, they really interacted well. They had spent time together in close proximity for quite a while at this point. And so it was fun, like their bickering for when they didn't like each other. The clashing personalities, you really dislike some characters and feel bad for other characters. So the author clearly did a good job of bringing those characters to life in a fairly short novel. I really felt like the absurdity, as I mentioned, for me, it was a positive. I felt like it was handled well. It was funny. I feel like the attempts at humor really hit well. I laughed out loud several times while I was reading the book. And I feel like the author did a great job of, you know, really staying on track for having that split plot. And the third thing that I found really good was that there was way more of that fantasy element than I was expecting. As I mentioned, it's a gas lamp. And I think a lot of times with gas lamp novels, they'll be more like cozy reads, or they'll use that technology as a lot of that fantasy element, right? In this case, the gas lamp, the guns, and things like that, they're fun. That whole cloud cover covering the entire continent makes the gas lamp element of it important. But I was just, you know, really pleased to see more of that fantasy element. The Doppelworm and some of the other, like, creatures that were told about are, you know, fun additions to the book that is essentially otherwise a murder mystery. I felt like the book packed just a ton of action, a ton of fun, and a whole lot of plot in 250 pages. I'll definitely be reading book two this winter. And as I mentioned, you know, five of the six things that I listed here for me were positives, not bad, even though some people might consider them that. And like I said, I think that my biggest thing is I just would have liked this book to have been another 100 pages long. I read it entirely in one sitting, and I enjoyed every bit of it. So obviously it looks like I've already transitioned myself into my thoughts on the book. I really felt like this book was just exceptionally well done. I liked the writing. It took me about 3 pages to get into that movie in my mind. I read it all in one sitting while in my tractor. As I mentioned, I guessed almost immediately who the actual murderer was for the mundane murder. But I was definitely shocked and did not figure out who the Doppelworm was. I found that this was just a book that I enjoyed reading, I had a good time with, and as I mentioned, my only real issue is that I would have liked the book to have been longer so I could have had more time in this world. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I think that, you know, the only thing I'm docking it for is that length. I felt like it was just such a tease to me that the amount of information and world building that I would have liked to have had versus what we had. And I completely understand that with both a book of this length and of the genre that we're not supposed to get a ton of world building. When you're dealing with a murder mystery, we're not usually getting to see any of the world's wider politics or any of that kind of stuff, right? But towards the end of the book, you get some more of that, and like the last couple chapters open that up a little bit more too, and I just kept thinking, man, I would have loved to have continued. I probably could have sat and read 100 pages of just what the rest of the world looks like. I found that interesting. So I absolutely recommend this book. I feel like a lot of people would enjoy reading this book. Once again, you know, people who like fantasy, as well as people who are more into that murder mystery. I think that the fantastical elements are just extra nice touches that were added onto it. And I think that, you know, this is a book that I'll recommend to people. So wrapping things up, if you like my videos, please like and subscribe to my channel. As I mentioned, I will get 2 more of the Spiffbo finalists out of the way before the end of the year. I only have 3 or 4 new books that are currently on my TBR for the rest of the year. And then I plan on finishing up like 2nd, 3rd, 4th books in a series that I've already read this year. As I mentioned, I'm going on vacation here in just a couple weeks. I actually plan on recording 4 or 5 videos while I'm on vacation. My wife is a late sleeper. I get up at 3 a.m. during the summer for work. So even when I'm in the winter, it's pretty hard for me to sleep past like say 6 a.m. So I plan on recording some videos first thing in the morning before my wife gets up. So I will have some material, even though I won't be doing anything while I'm actually on vacation. Thank you to everyone who so far has made this a fun last few months. And as I wrap up my new reading for the year, I've really enjoyed this year. I hope you guys all have a wonderful day. Thank you very much.